Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association, along with a Black Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio here in Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and then we're going to be bringing on my co-host. Let me open him up and bring him on. Brother Aziz, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Assalamu alaikum and greetings to you, my brother, and everyone. How are you today?
Everything's very well. Wa alaikum salam. We're going to take a quick break, give everybody a chance to get to their telephones or their emails, and then we'll start tonight's show, Brother Aziz.
All right. Fantastic.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
we'll make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
And again, welcome back to tonight's broadcast, the New Africa Business Association, along with Black Wall Street. Again, I am Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And Brother Shaheed, we're going to continue tonight. We're going to have open mic, so all of the business folks who call in, they can certainly talk about identifying their businesses, or they can talk about our topic also. We're going to continue to talk about Black Wall Street. And some of the destructions that went on in Black Wall Street, how Wall Street was built and how even was rebuilt the second time. So Black Wall Street, like I've always said, that is our example as far as financial independence.
Absolutely.
I didn't know very much about Black Wall Street here until this year. And, you know, we've been out here organizing different businesses and business associations ever since 1995 when our leader, our late leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, started a Muslims Business Association. And, of course, Aziz, you remember in 2005, he changed that to the New Africa Business Association.
Yes.
And so we are, yes. But, you know, the thing about it, everything that we have been talking about, even though we didn't know anything about Black Wall Street, actually, it was like we were talking about, and even though we was doing it hypothetical, we was really talking about Black Wall Street all the time in almost all of our conversations, even the business conference that we was going to, but we just didn't realize it. What I mean about we just didn't realize it, we didn't know the truth about Black Wall Street and its tremendous, its tremendous success. And that's what I say. They are our example. So tonight the mics are going to be wide open for those of you who know something about Black Wall Street and like I said, it's history. And those of you wish to come on and simply identify your business and let us know who you are, so we can network market and identify business and do business with each other. That's what the New Africa Business Association and Black Wall Street Business Association is all about. We're trying to bring about having our communities and our entire black nation become a financially vested nation and start building our nation where we have vested interest financially with each other. That's how Black Wall Street, and the more I read about Black Wall Street and you start talking about being vested, that's how those folks, that's what they did. But many things they did individually, but they took their individual talents and grew their individual talents to larger. It was just a community that just worked industriously, and until a point where yes, they became so powerful until the nation itself. And when I say the nation, the African American nation. They're the ones who call them the Black Wall Street. And the reasons for is that a Black Wall Street, a Greenwood, Oklahoma, that prosperous community was able to finance many, many things that we would go to, try to go to our banks, like big banks, excuse me, I'm getting sort of caught up, my throat is getting a little dry. But we didn't have to go to these white banks that turns us down because they're constantly telling us that our financials are not in order or whatever excuse they give us. But yet and still, they don't mind taking our monies. I guess until we get our financials in order, that's when we can start pulling monies from these financial institutions and to grow businesses. But Black Wall Street, we didn't have to go through this type of humiliation because African Americans was financially independent, and they made themselves financially independent through the worst conditions. The more I read, and I'm reading the history, like I said, of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's an amazing history. It's a history where you can be very proud of Native Americans and African Americans, even along with Caucasian Americans, because of Brother Aziz, when it comes to this here Perryman family that I was reading about.
Yes.
This Perryman family consisted of, they was a part of the, let me get the Creek Indians, Some of it I don't have at the top of my head, but like I said, the Perryman families was they're the ones who more or less started Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this family consists of a multiracial family. You had and they was a multiracial. They was one family, but in the family there was brothers and sisters. Some of them was Indian. Some of them was African descent, and some of them was of Caucasian descent. But they all made up what is known as the Perryman family. And so again, you can see, like I said, you get into that history out there. It's a history you can be proud of until it comes to white supremacy. But it's get rid of the white supremacy, and you can see what a goodwill peoples, even though they're coming from dirt being poor, but you can see what human beings who come together, how they can build a city like Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because like I said, Tulsa, Oklahoma belong to African Americans and Native Americans and Caucasians. They all was a family that started what we know today as Tulsa, Oklahoma. But like I said, I don't want to be on the... I am going to continue be talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma, because again, it is our example. And when I say continue, we're going to commemorate the 100th anniversary of that particular destruction. That's going to be done.
Yeah.
So again, but until it's done, I am going to do everything in my emotional powers to help to see to it, because like I said, there is so much that we need to realize from that Greenwood community, and there is so much we need to realize the name Black Wall Street itself. So we're going to go to the mics, Brother Aziz, and we're going to let our listeners come in early, and they can either, like I said, you can either discuss your business, or you can come in. Yes, good evening. The mics are open.
Good evening, Brother Bynum. This is Director Stone. How are you guys today?
Director Stone, you know.
Oh,
great. Awesome. Ella Bynum, Brother Aziz had asked that the developer of the container home come on the line tonight. Pastor Scott, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This is Pastor Alfred Scott. He only has a few minutes before he goes into a Bible study. I wanted to introduce him to Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz.
Yes.
So, Brother Aziz, you can feel free to ask him whatever questions you need, okay? And I'm going to mute my phone.
And good evening.
All right. Welcome and greetings, brother. We're glad you came on to give us some information on the container houses and the different things you could do with the containers. Could you give us a little bit of information about that?
Okay. Let me, if you can write down our website, which is...
I sure can. I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's www.divinityGroup.us.
Okay.
And when you go to the website, you'll be able to see the type of construction, how we construct them. And basically what we do is we can either get used containers and we disinfect them, and we can build out. We do have a design team, both structural engineers and architect, that and we do custom build. Matter of fact, we're doing some custom build for Mrs. Stone. projects she have up in the Huntsville area. And
is a container home very expensive?
No, well, I mean, you know, you can go the scale down model, or you can go as expensive as you want. You know, just like a brick and mortar home, it just depends on the amenities. It depends on the square footage. If you can take, there are a lot of people that go the most inexpensive route. They get an 8x40 container, and that's all they want. You know, one bedroom, kitchen, dining area, and laundry area. So it's less expensive than going strictly stick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
You'll save about 25%. And a lot of it depends on the municipality where you're located. Because we normally put them on pure and beam, but there are some individuals that do want on slab, which we can do. They are bolted to the slab or they are bolted to pure and beam. The advantages that you have with containers is that you don't have to worry about your exterior walls unless you want to put a wrap on it so it don't look like a container. But the majority of people do like the container look, you know. And you don't have to worry about termites because they're not going to eat metal. As far as your external is concerned, when it comes to storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, they can withstand all of it, really. Probably the worst thing that will happen is if a tornado do a direct hit, it may rip it from the pylon, but the container itself will remain intact.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Of course, it has a high fire rating, so it minimizes, when it comes to disaster weather, it minimizes the cost of rebuild. 99% of them don't go anywhere, you know. So, and if there was more container building when natural disasters happen, and of course it's not when, I mean, if, but when they do happen, then it minimizes collateral damage.
Mm-hmm. So they do have somewhat strength against wind.
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at, those containers, they go around the world on ships, you know, and they're all type of inclement weather.
Yes, especially salt. Salt water. That's what I was wondering about. The outside, you say they leave the outside like they are, but is there something that you can put on them to stop them from rusting on you?
Yeah, there's a corrosive paint that we will sandblast the exterior and then put two coats of corrosion paint on.
Brother Aziz,
Yes, brother.
Brother Aziz, this is Bilal. I was going to ask the brother. Now, you take containers like you're talking about, and of course we're talking about just about rebuilding all our African-American communities all over the country. But, for instance, let's say if we took these containers into the black communities, especially in many of these areas here on the East Coast where houses are very expensive. And but if we took them into our own communities, how much can we control, let's say, our housing, brother, buying and making residential affordable to those who are affordable, and then of course even the luxury appearance, but again bringing it into the black community where they can have affordable buying homes, in just about many parts of the country, especially some of these parts here on the East Coast.
Okay. For the most part, it depends on the local municipalities because, I mean, whatever we deal has to comply with local municipalities. Hold on just one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right now I'm on a conference call. You have to come back later.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
As I was saying, it's yeah. As I was saying, there are a number of local municipalities where they are being built now are starting to understand, and they realize the reliability of these units. And as long as you meet the building codes, which the exterior portion of the unit meets the wind load criteria, and all you would have to do is just meet the interior structural construction criteria, which if you and it's the same criteria that is used in stick and mortar, regular stick and mortar home.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is different. The National Building Code remains the same. Sometimes it takes going into an area and educating, first of all, your local politician. Your
okay, yes, yes, yes.
You know, because the problem I had when I was building churches, the problem I ran into, and I really stay away from the Northeast because of all the trade unions.
Yes.
You know, the reason
yeah.
the cost of construction is so high in the Northeast is because of your trade unions,
mm-hmm.
you know. And by the time you get done paying union price
mm-hmm.
For labor, because I even
I
tried to bring in our people from down in Texas, and they wouldn't allow it.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, we couldn't even get a permit to build unless we use the union contractors up there.
Precisely. I see what you're saying. Go right ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that would be the only thing, unless we prefab the units and ship them, then the only thing would need to be done is they just put together, weld them
yeah.
together, and mount them. And then we would have to send the plans to the local municipality. But again, you would have to get with your local politicians, because up there they have a bad thing of having to grease hands in order to make something happen. And I'm just dealing with the reason.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. No doubt. No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's one of the reasons I was asking
right.
the question. That I wanted to see what, just what I knew you. I know you probably, if you wasn't nationwide or expanding, there was something that's stopping you or blocking you, and I can see all the obstacles that would be in your way. But at the same time, I think we can tear down some of those things if we are unified enough. If we can show our black power and put a lot of our own politicians, because like I said, not only when you're running a business association like we are, we have to think in terms of business and politics. The two goes
right.
together, and we have to get those are the powers that we have to put together. So, brother, I look forward. I pray for your success because, again, like
Absolutely.
I said, we
yeah.
have everything we need in our communities to build our communities. But like I said, going back to Black Wall Street, these are the things that they had to overcome. They had to find ways to have their independence because white supremacy did not want us to become successful, and it's still true today. But we can't let it stop us, and it don't have to stop. The only reason it's a block in our path is because we're just not unified, and we haven't put our finances together as to where we're unified. So until our unity comes together, yes, they're going to be putting regulations on us, telling us what we can't do and what we. And business is something I can tell you, they don't want us to be very successful in. They didn't tear down Wall Street for nothing, and it wasn't a few folks that tore down Wall Street. It was an entire government, including the federal government and the U.S. military. So it goes to show. But anyway, go right ahead.
I'd like to get to your brother's name again. Brother,
please,
can I get your name again?
Alfred, A-L-F-R-E-D, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I won't forget your first name, brother. I got a brother next to me, same first name.
And Mr.
Okay.
Scott, we would ask you to continue to come on and participate with us. We need brothers like you. We need a business. Brother, we're spending $1.3 trillion to outside folks who can't stand us. So we got to bring that strong dollar back into our communities. And your business is an example of some of the needs, because housing is a necessity. You've got to have housing. That's one of the four necessities of life. So please stay with us and let's promote together.
Well, of course. Mrs. Stone had been telling me about you all, and of course your time is somewhat conflicting with my Bible study on Wednesday. There's more I would like to share with you, but I can't do it now. I'm going to have to get off to make preparation to go.
We appreciate you taking your time, Brother Scott. And whenever you can come back again, please do that. And I was going to say, Ms. Stone, Director Stone showed us a picture of a facility that you did for her. And I tell you, that thing is absolutely marvelous, brother. Absolutely. So I commend you on your work, and we definitely like the brother Bilal, and I definitely would like to hear more from you, as well as some things we may be able to do that we like to get into some type of project over here where we are. So please feel free, to come on the show whenever you have a little bit of time to offer us.
Okay, what I do is I let. One of my business partners, because we are LLC, and he's up in New York, and I'll see if I can get him to come on. His name is Al Rogers, and see if I can get him to come on and share with you all.
Thank you, Brother Scott.
Yes, indeed. Thank you again, Brother Scott, and Director Stone, thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a sponsor break, and we'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Shy, and I am the host of Shiloh Radio. On Motivational Monday, 7 to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on GospelRadioNation.com, where we play all gospel all day, every day. I would like to invite you to tune in. Also, Motivational Thursdays on the legendary KYOK 1140 AM and all new 92.3 FM, where we broadcast live from Houston, Texas. Please tune in to KYOKradio.org anywhere you're listening around the world. That's Shiloh Radio Motivational Thursdays and Shiloh Radio Motivational Mondays. I'd love to have you join in the conversation. Be encouraged, inspired, and ignited by the Word of God.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
And welcome back to the show again. We have our mics are open. Anyone who wishes to discuss their business or identify their business or any comments that you may want to have on the history of Black Wall Street, of course, we're interested in hearing from you. Our mics are open. All right. That sounds like they still want to hear me. Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Yeah, I'd like to share something with our listening group. This month is Black Business Month. August is Black Business Month. And we have to recognize Black-owned businesses across the country. Black business owners account for about 10% of the U.S. businesses and about 30% of all minority-owned business. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, that amounts to about 2 million companies owned by African Americans. Nearly 40% of all black-owned businesses are in healthcare, social assistance, repair, maintenance, personal, and laundry services. Other categories include advertising firms, auto dealerships, consulting services, restaurants, barbershops, beauty saloons, and more. Among cities, New York has the most black-owned businesses in the U.S., followed by Atlanta. The highest ratio of black-owned businesses is in Washington, D.C., where 28% of all businesses are black-owned. The growth of black-owned franchise business has been explosive. In 2012, over 30% of franchise businesses were black-owned, up from about 20% in the 5 previous years. So here's some how we can observe Black Business Month, which is August. Support and encourage African-American-owned businesses in your community. Learn more about business opportunities for African-American community. And use the National Black Business Month in your social media correspondence, Facebook, all the other ones. Now, the history of this here, historian John William Templeton and engineer Frank E. Jordan Sr. founded National Black Business Month in August of 2004 to drive the policy agenda affecting the 2.6 million African-American businesses. There are over 1,500 national days, so don't miss a single one. So that is what I wanted to share with our audience, that this is Black Business Month, the month of August, and we want to, this is the month of really, really magnifying and exposing and letting black businesses in a network. Primarily what we like to do is just let black businesses be known about. This is the month that should be known. This is the month where African Americans are to participate in trying their best to put their dollars in black-owned business this month. And this is just a beginning, but, you know, to go out and do that and see how many of the things that you have that you need on daily usage, as well as things that you may not need that you're just going out to get for pleasure sometimes, your clothes, little extra things that you need. Black-owned businesses cover the majority of these. If we were just in the communities wherever we exist in the country, would look up and see what are the black-owned businesses in my community, and What do they carry that I could use? And go there and do some business with them. Spend your dollars there. That's making an effort. At least that money is going circulating one time, you know for sure. That's the beginning with all of us individually circulating that money in some kind of way in a black-owned business. If it just goes one time to that business, and hopefully that business can get its supplies that it needs from another black-owned business. And, you know, this is how in the domino effect that one supports the other one. You know, when one grows, the other one grows. Only we're not talking about falling. We're talking about growing in the opposite direction. So this month on our show, New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C., and also the Northeast Black Wall Street USA show, following this show, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is what we will be presenting, as Brother Bilal would say, as business identification and network marketing among businesses. And also, we'll be discussing more about the 100-year celebration bubble I was talking about of the Black Wall Street when it existed in its glory and this destructive time came about where all the businesses were destroyed because of hate. But moreover, why these businesses existed like they did, because they were supporting one another. You know, I got a law firm, you got a cleaner, you got a barber shop, you got a auto shop, you got an insurance shop, you got a pharmacy, and the different trades just go on and on. And this is how people came, and African Americans came to want to really, you know, Greenwood was a beautiful place from what I've seen of the pictures in that, you know, and it's very seldom you see pictures of African Americans dressed up in suits and ties back in that time and driving their own nice cars around at that time. These were prosperous people, but on top of being prosperous, they had to be intelligent people, very intelligent and supporting of one another. So this is what the New African Business Association, Brother Bilal, and none of us have been trying for a while. So to our audience out there, again, this is Black Business Month, and let's see if we support some black businesses. The mic is back to you, Brother Bilal, as well as open to the any of our listeners out there.
All right, thanks for your comments, Brother Aziz. Again, it's open mic. You can talk about your business or you can give us some history on what you know about Black Wall Street. Our mics are open. Okay. If no one have any comments right now, you know, I'm always ready to talk. But again, I'm giving you a chance to identify your business or to give me some information on Black Wall Street, because like I said, I am going to be talking about Black Wall Street until the end of our next year's commemoration. And again, I like I said, Black Wall Street, I know it's my example as a businessman. I've been a business person over 40 years, but I didn't know anything about Black Wall Street. Now that I know the history of Black Wall Street, I am saying, my goodness, that's what I've been, as a financial planner, that's what I've been talking about all along. And to me, I thought I was talking about something hypothetical as far as wealth and fame until I read Black Wall Street. My goodness, African Americans have already done this. And they became financially vested in each other. Not only did they do it one time, but the destruction, even after the destruction of Black Wall Street, the entire nation rebuilt Black Wall Street. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful history and it's our example, brothers and sisters. But I'm not trying to be the only spokesperson, and I can't be the only spokesperson on this subject. So the mics are open. I love to hear from you on the subject of Black Wall Street. I'll talk about your business. And like Brother Isaiah said, this is August. This is Black Business Month. So the mics are open. Welcome to we welcome your comments.
Brother Bilal, this is Director Stone, And
yes,
I have to agree, totally agree with you. I don't know if you guys have been to the Greenwood Culture Center, but I pray that you go in May for the commemoration and get a wake-up call. See some of the photos in the gallery there. Read some of the comments. It is breathtaking. It was certainly an eye-opener for me when I had the opportunity to go in February, and my heart did bleed because there were so many Black businesses there, and out of all of those people traveling from another country, a great number of them were not educated, but God gave them strategy, He gave them wisdom, He gave them knowledge to supersede every hurdle there were,
that's
of disappointment,
right,
of setback, of delay,
mm-hmm,
and the one key thing that they had was a oneness.
Yep.
They came,
yes,
together, pulled their funds together,
yeah,
and built a whole city. And for those listeners out there that's listening to this program, that are Black businesses, entrepreneurs, if we can just come together, pull our funds together, and I cannot stress that enough,
mm-hmm,
we can change this country.
Easily.
We can change,
yes,
a nation.
Yes.
In a togetherness, in a oneness.
That's right. Absolutely.
Putting
right,
all differences aside, putting all hurt and disappointments aside, and coming together in a oneness. It stirred my heart so. I began to look at my business, to strategize, to see what new goals that I could come up with, and one of those was the I Boomerang Vibe Rise.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
By Mr. Boggs. That ride share program with the layout and the plans that they have, the strategies that they have, will supersede Uber. And it's exciting what our God Almighty is doing in this latter day.
That's right.
Because it is time for us to share,
yes,
some of the wealth. We have,
absolutely,
been set back and put on a burner for so long.
That's right.
And it's really shameful that we have to be discreet in what we're doing. But the scripture does tell us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we got to strategize and build,
yes,
our businesses, and as we build, we bring in others.
Yes.
Teach one, reach one. Teach one, reach one. And we don't stop,
mm-hmm,
there. We promote that one to reach one, and promote that one to reach one. And before we know it, we have a whole village and a group of people.
That's right.
So
that's
thank
right,
you so,
amen,
much for letting me share. Brother Scott and I have been working really close together. There's a number of obstacles that we have come up against. We started this a year ago. It is mega. It is mega. But when it comes into fruition, I will send you guys some much better pictures of the whole outline of it. And if the Lord say the same, by September, October, we should be breaking ground. So thank you again for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Director.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that 100%.
So thank you for bringing Brother Scott
on to share that with us.
I'm sorry, come again. I missed that comment.
I was just saying thank you for getting Brother Scott to come on and share that with us, because Brother Bilal and I are interested in, as your project gets started coming into fruition and starts moving along, that will give us the ability to start trying to do something like that somewhere else too, like you're doing, because the idea is fantastic. Like I said, when I mentioned that and told you about the site I went to and that, and you said, yeah, you know, I'm familiar with that and all that. And I've seen the many different ways those containers could be used to make, as Mr. Scott said, a one bedroom, but, you know, for a three bedroom as well as other, you know, you put three or four of them together, my gracious. You know, you
absolutely
got really something nice going.
Yes. So again,
absolutely.
So again, yes, well, we're going to move right along, try to give everybody else a chance to, our mics are open. So those of you who have comments about your own business, you wish to identify your business, or you wish to make comments on tonight's subject, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. All right. If I don't have anyone who wishes to make comments, Director Stone, I am want to thank you so much for your comments. But, of course, you know, like I said, ever since January, that's when we met. That's when our two business associations came together, the New Africa Business Association, which myself and Brother Aziz represent. And of course, that is an Islamic African-American Muslim Business Association. And then, of course, I met you, and you directed me to the Black Wall Street Association back in January. And from January on up to today, between Dr. Stone, Director Stone and myself working together, I can say right now we got about at least 8 different states that are constantly in, that are networking with us now. So in such a short period of time, you can see that the information of sharing business with each other is catching on. And I like to also say what Dr. Stone was saying. One of the things I've noticed in the last couple of years is that, yes, African-American businesses, you see more and more now African-American businesses all over. And I mean, it's a wonderful sight. But I will still emphasize, most of our businesses, and I can understand that if I went into business, I'll probably try to open up in the shopping centers or in some of the uptown or downtown. In other words, businesses where Africa that are not in our community. Those same businesses that you're doing business uptown, downtown, or in town, or wherever you're doing your business as an African-American business, I still suggest that you take that business and put it right back into your Black community. One thing about taking the business that you're doing very well in and wherever you're doing business, taking it to your own Black communities, your cost to do business is not going to be expensive. And, of course, your clientele is right next door to you now. So, again, don't forget about putting businesses right in your own Black communities, because that's where that's where your communities and you want your business as close to the community as you can possibly get it. Again, our mics are open. We got about 10 more minutes before I go to open mic again. I do want to remind everyone, like Brother Aziz said, at 8 o'clock, we will be switching over to North on the Black Wall Street Northeast Region conference. And so this conversation will continue, but it will be turned over to the Black Wall Street a Northeast Region Conference, of which we all share information with each other. That number is 712-451-0683. I will repeat the number, 712-451-0683 with an access code. That code is 614060#. That access code is 614060#. And so again, I am going to go back and anyone who is in business, your business, or you wish to comment on our subject this evening, our mics are open.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Bernice Swan.
Hey, sis.
Hi, sweetie. Hey, how are
Bernice?
You?
Bernice. Hey, good. How's everything up in Delaware and all those? You got through that hurricane. I heard you guys had almost the bullseye.
Survival mode. We're in survival mode, but all is well. The one situation with your niece Shelley, all around her was devastation. She and Jerry are fine, but there was devastation, huge, all around them, unbelievable. But
yes,
so this is survival mode. Well, especially in mid and northern Delaware, it hit the hardest. Homes were just devastated. Yeah,
right.
And that was thank goodness we had that type of storm. Imagine if it had stayed a hurricane.
Oh my. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about the Sahara Desert. Just before the hurricanes hit the Sahara Desert, it has only happened, I think, only one other time to come to this hemisphere. You heard about that? And
I
how
haven't
heard
anything about it.
Well, the Sahara Desert sands, it was like a sandstorm, and it went across the waters, and the particles that it dropped in our areas was supposed to keep the hurricanes from being as intense. You know, they said last year that our predictions were we would have the worst hurricane season ever. But anyway, they said the particles from the Sahara Desert sandstorms were distributed over the ocean waters and the Gulf waters, and that kept so many hurricanes as we go into the seasons from being as deadly as they might be. And maybe that's why this hurricane, as tremendous as it was, turned into just a storm. And that storm was violent. So you can imagine how bad the hurricane would have been. But anyway, I just wanted to share briefly on our topic tonight. Along with Tulsa, Oklahoma's devastation, keep in mind, too, that wasn't happening. Rosewood. Well, there was Rosewood, Florida. There was Springfield, Illinois. There was Slocum, Texas. Tulsa. So that wasn't happening just in our beautiful town of Greenwood. It was happening across the country wherever our towns and cities were flourishing with good black businesses. So for your own historical benefit, look also for Rosewood, Florida.
Hey, still wait. I was going to cook it.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You put it in the blender.
Somebody just talking. If it's not you, just go right ahead. Just go right ahead.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
So it's important for us to continue to find out that there was a national movement, not just in one area, but wherever our towns were beginning to flourish and excellent business development, it was immediately squashed by people who just did not want to see it succeed. But I do know Rosewood, Florida, Springfield, Illinois, that was around 1908 for Springfield, and Slocum, Texas also were experiencing the same type of devastation.
Yes, very important. Thanks so much for that information. You know, again, it's just an example. It's just an example of how blessed we really are, but at the same time, how hate. You know, I was told once years ago when I was in I was a financial planner and was training to become a financial planner, just coming out of school and all. But I remember I went to a business conference that was in finance, and I ran into some millionaires that was from Oklahoma, black millionaires from Oklahoma. It had nothing to do with Black Wall Street. It's different guys I ran into years ago while I was in finance school. And I remember one of the guys out there that owned had an oil well in back of his yard. He told me back years ago, and he told me, he said, Bynum, you know, you don't know what racism is all about until you become rich. And I guess now that I am a bit more financially sound, I understand exactly what he was talking about. Because, it's not even safe for African Americans to go certain places in this country and show that they're very prosperous. It's not safe at all. The automobile that you drive, or the clothes that you wear, the monies, and white folks hate you for that. Because why? They think that you are supposed to be inferior to them, and you're not supposed to have the lifestyle that they have, and they hate it. But again, that hate, I don't know how to explain their hate. But again, these are just, so hearing what you just said, Ms. Swan, about the continuation of how we have prosperous. Well, remember, this whole country is where it is today because of black peoples and where we started off as slaves. So we are the wealth of this country. So again, but the mics are open. We still got about 5 more minutes in the comments anyone wants to make. And again, after this, remember to switch over to Black Wall Street. We have one more hour as to where now we'll be talking to representatives of members of Black Wall Street. But we still have a couple of minutes here. Our mics are open. Okay, Brother Aziz, I'm going to let you. You got about two minutes to close us out.
Well, yes, we did have another brother that was trying to get in, but he might have had hung up.
Okay.
I heard him saying hello.
Well, he's got about a minute and a half to do whatever he wants to do.
Anybody out there that'd like to comment? Well, anyway, right. I think we can sign on out, Brother Vlau.
Okay, well, I like to do it by telling folks that we'd love to have your memberships. So, again, if you would go on to the New Africa Business Association. Go to our website, thenewafricabusinessassociation.com. That is New Africa Business, NABASSOC, NewAfricaBusinessAssociation.com, or send us a Gmail. And that an email, and that would be the New Africa Business Association at gmail.com. Our number is 301-234-9090 and 516-847-2334 and for information with the New Africa Business Association or Black Wall. So again, until next Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., we thank you for being a listener, and we will certainly see you next week at this time. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum.